very much.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, ICANN staff, and welcome everyone to the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability Workstream 2 Human Rights Subgroup. This is the 22nd meeting. It is February 24th, which in some cultures is referred to as Valentine's Day. So I'm very happy we can all share the love here. It is 1900 UTC, and I am very happy that we have quite some people on the call, because I know some of you are actually already on ICANN Travel, but I'm happy we can try to make some progress this week on our work, so that we will not get outside of the deadline of the plan of Workstream 2 and stay within our mandate. So having said that, let's have a look at the agenda and start with administrivia. Is there anyone on the audio bridge who is not in the Adobe Connect room? If not, then staff, please take the roll call from the Adobe Connect room. We have not received any apologies. Does anyone have an update on their statement of interest? None. Then does anyone have a additional point to the agenda? No amendments, suggestions, or questions regarding the agenda. So that means we'll be jumping into reviewing the documents that the drafting team has been working on this week. We have a bit of a cleaner document, but that doesn't mean that the document is not very much a work in progress. But I think we have been able to address some of the points that were brought up last week. So staff, would you please be so kind to bring up the PDF document? Or for those who want to do a live transcription, you can also have a look at the Google Docs. I will pull up the link here. I see that from the drafting team, David McCauley is here, so I hope David and I can represent the drafting group a bit without speaking too much for others. Again, this is a work in progress. This is not an official first reading, let alone a second reading. So let's go through the document and see where we are. So if you all do not mind, we start again at the top of the document, and then we'll try to hold an eye on the time to ensure that we manage to get to the end of the document, something we did not exactly manage last week. Is everyone okay with that? I see no hands. I hear only happy people. So let's start off. So we're starting off at the top with the preamble, which is not really a preamble because this document is going to be part of the framework of interpretation. And to clarify that, it starts with the following part of the document addresses the considerations listed in paragraph 24 of Annex 12 of the CCWG Accountability Final Report. So this is also reference to the choice that was advised to us by the CCWG co-chairs that we do not follow Annex 6 but Annex 12. So it's very clear what we're doing in this part of the FOI. So then we're going to try to address a part of which we had some discussion last week, and let's see if we managed to capture the spirit and the ideas that were brought up last week. And so the consideration is consider which specific human rights conventions or other instruments, if any, should be used by ICANN in interpreting and implementing the human rights bylaw. And the text then goes as follows. The framework of interpretation aims to provide guidance in interpreting the human rights bylaw. In addition to the framework of interpretation, the following documents could provide additional guidance, noting that ICANN is not a party to these declarations and conventions, and the bylaw has not been written with one specific human rights declaration or covenant in mind. And then there is the list that is also mentioned in the in the bylaw, in the framework of interpretation itself. So we put that here again to ensure that there is clarity. And then it ends off with the UN guiding principles for business and human rights could be instructive in the process of the operationalization of the bylaw. And David McCauley has already remarked that operationalize might not be the right word, but we might be translate that to guide. So then the sentence might become, the UN guiding principles for business and human rights could be a useful guide in the process of observing the bylaw, which I think is also good text. So I do not see any hands, but I would be very curious to see if people have reactions to this. If not, then it seems we listened quite well to you all last week, and we're doing what you want us to do, and there is nothing that makes us happier than that. That's great. So that's nice to see that. David hand is up. David, please come in.
Thanks, Niels. David McCauley. You correctly noted my comment. Frankly, that comment was added quite recently. I just had a very busy schedule the past week. But I did want to take a moment to thank you. I think you took the hard broom to the document and cleaned it up. And I think that that process helped a great deal. So I just wanted to say a word of thanks, Niels, and thank you for correctly capturing my document, which was I think our effort here is not to operationalize things, but to recognize that the bylaw is written purposefully as a guide. You know, the introduction to the core values is that these are things that will guide ICANN's decisions and operations and things of that nature. So thanks, and that's the reason for my comment. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much, David. And so the only thing I did was actually just rework the things that have been put there by the drafting team. So I'm merely the secretariat. So let's go to the next part. And please continue to correct me and add additions to the things, David, but also others, of course. So here we are at the next part where the policies and frameworks, if any, that ICANN needs to develop or enhance in order to fulfill its commitment to respect human rights. And here we directly come on the operationalize to which David alluded earlier, but to not make it unclear, I'll go with the text as we have it now, and then we can perhaps discuss it later. So in order to operationalize the human rights bylaw, ICANN, the community, as well as the organization, will need to consider how to reflect the core value in its policy and operation processes. This could involve the use of human rights impact assessments for assessing how ICANN's operations and policies could impact human rights, as well as the development of a corporate social responsibility policy. The subgroup on human rights of the CCWG suggests that while operationalizing the human rights bylaw, one, ICANN, the organization, should prioritize areas of focus such as operations, policies, and procedures, and two, the ICANN community could focus on the integration of human rights considerations in its policy processes consistent with its mission. ICANN's commitment to respect human rights and to take human rights into consideration in its operations and policies in the foregoing manner should, of course, be consistent with the human rights core value of the bylaws. So here we're saying that there might be a corporate social responsibility policy, but human rights cannot simply be slapped on top of things. It should also be integrated in existing operations and processes, We're also saying that it cannot be all done at once, so we might want to choose to prioritize specific parts of the work. And then also put that in a policy so there is a clear stream of work and implementation there. There is some wordsmithing here. It is not perfect English, so sorry for that. But I think we're heading somewhere. I see Rudy Daniel seems to agree. That's great. So no other hands, no other comments. So we're at heading at great speed here. So let's go to the next part. And here we're getting a bit into the weeds. And here I'm very curious what you all think. So let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let me first read it out, and then feel free to also jump in halfway if you feel like this is completely going wrong. So the consideration is consistent with ICANN's existing processes and protocols. Consider how these new frameworks should be discussed and drafted to ensure broad multi-stakeholder involvement in the process. So the methods our consideration is as follows. The methods for developing any new policies or frameworks that may be needed to fulfill ICANN's commitment to respect human rights will be dictated by the type of policy and how ICANN develops those policies. For example, policies relating to the generic top-level domains are the responsibility of the GNSO and should be developed by the GNSO using that organization's policy and processes for policy development. This includes any changes to the GNSO's policy development processes, PDPs. The GNSO's processes allow for broad multi-stakeholder involvement in working groups developing these policies. Similarly, policies related to country codes top-level domains are the responsibility of the country codes name supporting organization, the CCNSO. The CCNSO has a PDP process that is similar to the GNSO, therefore it is proposed that the same process is considered. The review and development of recommendations on Internet Protocol Address Policy is the responsibility of the address supporting organization. The ASO does not have a similar formal PDP to the CCNSO and the GNSO. This does not mean that there are no moments in the development of the policies and procedures in which reviews and recommendations could be reviewed. Any operations, employee-related or vendor-related policies should be developed by ICANN operations and management, taking human rights into account as outlined in the bylaw, but should also consider multi-stakeholder involvement in the development process. At a minimum, proposed policies should be set out for public comment, seeking input on, among other things, whether the policies fulfill ICANN's commitment under the Human Rights Bylaw. So here we have outlined a potential approach for integrating, or said that there is a need for integrating this in the work of the GNSO, the CCNSO, the ASO, and ICANN, the organization, but that there are that these organizations themselves should design these policies with a proper multi-stakeholder engagement. Very good, very good. So we walked through this. So let's have a look at the next part. Consider how the interpretation and implementation of this bylaw will interact with existing and future ICANN policies and procedures. So the interpretation of the bylaw, and we start again, should be driven by the framework of interpretation. It is expected that the bylaw will be duly taken into account when future ICANN policies and procedures are developed and interpreted in accordance with the framework of interpretation. The different supporting organizations should consider defining and incorporating human rights impact assessments in their respective policy development processes, including doing a policy impact assessment of the impact of a proposed policy on the specific human rights that ICANN is obliged to respect in the preliminary issue report. Oh, I see a hand is up, and that is Cavus, and I see a question by Rudy Daniel, but Cavus,
yes,
please come in.
Do you hear me, please?
Yes, we hear you very well. Great to hear
okay.
you.
Thank you. On the left-hand side in the column, consider how implementation and interpretation by law. Where we have the interpretation of the bylaw, do we interpret bylaw or we interpret just human rights? Framework of interpretation of human rights. Do we have any framework of interpretation of other provisions of the bylaw? Why this was included in Annex 12? Interpretation. Implementation, yes, but interpretation. Who interprets bylaw? Bylaw has two parts. A standard bylaw and the other bylaw, fundamental bylaw. I don't remember, neither for a standard bylaw nor for the fundamental bylaw, we have talked or there is anything currently in the revised bylaw about interpretations. Who has the right to interpret the bylaw? Implementation, yes. But I don't understand, so this is something that needs to be at least flagged to the CCWG plenary, that we have not found, unless some people, some distinguished people they found and they need to mention, we have not found anywhere in the new bylaw or revised bylaw mentioning interpretation of the bylaw. The only word of interpretation is framework of interpretation of human rights, but there is no other interpretation. Are you going to interpret the empowered community? Are you going to interpret X, Y, Z? I don't understand. Could somebody really shed some light on the matter? Thank you.
Is there anyone who would like to respond to Kavu's question? I see Anne's hand is up. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. I think this is an excellent question, and I do believe that it's come up in a way in the drafting team discussions, because there was a question raised about how the HR FOI would ultimately affect policymaking, for example, within the GAC. And we have a lot of very specific provisions in this draft about the PDP process within the GNSO, but essentially what we're saying so far with respect to the GAC is that it does not affect the GAC processes and there's no change. I think that's a matter that's still under discussion somewhat, but it was raised, the fact was raised that it's actually the obligation of the board and the final determination of the ICANN board in terms of who is responsible to comply with the human rights bylaw, so that we want to incorporate processes within our policy development. Certainly, you know, we've put that in the GNSO provisions. Some of us believe it's not yet accurately reflected in connection with consideration of GAC provisions, which is a little bit later in Annex 12. But ultimately, it really is the ICANN board itself that is accountable for, responsible for the compliance with the bylaw, and it's they are the ones who must interpret the bylaw. And if they go foul or awry of the bylaw, It appears to me that, you know, the community has remedies, whether it be by way of requests for reconsideration or independent review, but the buck stops with the board. It's the board that must interpret and comply with and be accountable for the bylaw. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. I think there are now different parts. So Cavus had a question on the interpretation. And I see Cavus handed up, so we'll soon go to Cavus. But I think we have a framework of interpretation, because at the time human rights was added to the core values in Workstream 1, we did not completely understand yet what it would look like. And the consensus was then, we do want a commitment to human rights, but to ensure that we all understand what it is, we add a framework of interpretation. And that's why we came up with the framework of interpretation, so that it's clear how we understand the bylaw. And I think Anne is completely correct when she says that it is that the buck stops with the board, but I think we would be selling ourselves short to say that we are not a part of that process as well. I mean, we all, different parts of the organization, have responsibilities and have contributions and should therefore also be living up to these parts. It might end with the board, but that doesn't mean that the board is everything, I think. Cavus, hand is up. Cavus, please come in. Cavus?
Sorry, this paragraph and the two previous paragraphs were written differently in the last meeting, and when I raised the issue at the plenary of the CCWG, these three paragraphs were changed. We are grateful for the first relating to the GNSO. We are grateful for the second relating to the CSNSO, and this is the case. With respect to the gas, I don't understand the situation. Let me explain. In the bylaw, it is clearly mentioned that it is the duty of the board when approving the or deciding on the GAC advice, they must ensure that the advice is consistent with the bylaw. That's all. We, GAC people, also in our operating principle, are discussing to include that GAC advice, before being submitted to the board, need to ensure that they are consistent with the bylaw. That's all. But we don't want that we mix up this situation of GAC advice, which must be complying with the bylaw or consistent with the bylaw, comes under this paragraph with such a wording talking about interpretation of the bylaw. We are not interpreting bylaw. If you want to talk about the GAC advice, talk about the GAC advice. Similarly, that you talk about the GNSO policies which end up with recommendation, or CSNO policies which end up with recommendation, that must be consistent with the bylaw. Similarly, GAC advice also must be consistent with the bylaw, which is already in the bylaw, and why we need to explain that. If you want to explain that, you said that must be complying with the bylaw and with the human rights. We have no problem. But this paragraph is saying entirely different things. We are talking that there is a need to interpret the bylaw. No, there is not a need to interpret the bylaw. If the bylaw needs to be changed, they will change it. And now I can enter in some discussions to change the fundamental bylaw for something, and a resolution has been passed on that. So I don't think that this paragraph is okay. It must be revised. If it is related to ICAN, to the GAC advice, it should refer to the GAC advice, but not interpretations of the bylaw. It is very broad and gives this impression that we get out of our duties. Not only we prepare interpretations for the framework of the human rights, but also going beyond that, interpretations of the provision of the bylaw. So many provisions. We don't have that authority, and we don't have that mandate. So I cannot agree with this paragraph. Should be revised. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Nonetheless, I think it's good if we finish the the reading of this part so that at least we have the proposed process clear. Let me start from the beginning because I'm sure if I've lost it, you've lost it probably too, or else I'm doubling it. So the interpretation of the bylaw should be driven by the framework of interpretation. It is expected that the bylaw will be duly taken into account when future ICANN policies and processes are developed and interpreted in accordance with the framework of interpretation. The different supporting organizations should consider defining and incorporating human rights impact assessments in their respective policy development processes, including doing a policy impact assessment on the impact of a proposed policy on the specific human rights that ICANN is obliged to respect in the preliminary issue report. This is the first part of a policy development process. So at the beginning of a process, we'll look which human rights are potentially impacted by this potential policy. So it could be we have a policy and it has an impact on privacy and freedom of association. So then the next part is if the assessment identifies potential impact on any such specific human rights, so we call now two specific human rights, a human rights impact assessment would be triggered for those specific rights and would be undertaken during the drafting of the working group's initial reports. The human rights impact assessment would be an integral part of the working group's final report. This means that this way, so the differentiation of the two assessments is to ensure that you do not need to do a full assessment of every policy. So there's the preliminary assessment and the full human rights impact assessment, if it is positive, on specific rights. So in order to operationalize these policy changes, an appropriate mechanism should be established. For example, a cross-community working group on human rights or a similar group could be established, which would make proposals for the supporting organizations to implement in their respective policy development processes. So this is a way to see if we can come up with a harmonized way in which it could be implemented in the ASO, GNSO, and CCNSO. Of course, they would need to agree themselves upon this, but at least it would ensure that there is uniformity and we are not duplicating the same process in three different bodies. So at least this is a proposal or a way in this which this could be done. And then finally, ICANN should also consider ensuring that it does not violate human rights in its operations. ICANN might consider instruments such as human rights impact assessments to carry out a preliminary assessment of the effect of its specific operations. However, this is up to ICANN, the corporation, to decide and implement. The result of such impact assessments should be incorporated in ICANN's annual reporting. I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes. When you read the entire text, I think the issue of that is already addressed, and that is good. We don't need to do anything. I have a simple way to fix the situation. At the beginning of this part, when it starts, the interpretation of the bylaw should be driven by the framework of interpretation. Delete that portion. This is first proposal. If you don't want to do that, you add the implementation of the bylaw with respect to the human rights should be driven by the framework of interpretation. So limit our task to the human rights, but not anything else. So you have two options. Option one, deleting the first line plus one word from the second line, or adding human rights after bylaw. The interpretation of the bylaw with respect to human rights should be driven by the framework of interpretation. That means we limit our task within the mandate given to us, that means human rights. But the remaining, I don't have any comment. I'm very happy with the last part. You refer that the judge advice must be in compliance with patati patata. I have no problem with that at all. So just the first line, I have difficulty that I don't want your group or our group propose that we should interpret bylaw. We should not. We just prepare framework of interpretations for human rights only, and nothing else, and nothing more. Thank you.
That's a great comment, Cavus, one that I also incorporated in the Google Doc already. Thanks very much for that. And I see David's hand is up. David, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. David McCauley again. My suggestion in this language would be that the sentence that begins in order to operationalize these policy changes and appropriate mechanisms such as a CCWG, et cetera, I would delete that sentence. I think come down on the side of I think it would be preferable that you have three different takes on how to do this sort of in the interest of a principle of subsidiarity within ICANN. And I think these SOs like the GNSO, CCNSO, ASO, whatever it might be, they come at it with such different points of view that may make sense. They have much different remits in a sense. Obviously, for instance, between a GTLD and a CCTLD. So that would be my suggestion. Thank you.
Please repeat the suggestion on the chat. Thank you.
So the suggestion was that to which David was responding was that we set up a CCWG on human rights so we could develop a potential policy which could then be recommended to the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ASO. The advantage of that would be that we would be making use of the expertise to design it at once. David replied, but these three bodies are inherently such different beasts that it might not make sense to do that all at once. And that was the overview of the positions. I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes, I'm very sorry to so much. I feel I have problem with the first part, saying an interpretation of the bylaw. We do not do anything in regard to the interpretation of bylaw. We just do preparation for the framework and interpretation for the human rights. So that part should be deleted. This is causing problems. That we're going beyond our mandate. We do not propose anything to the CCWG plenary with respect to the interpretation of the bylaw. This is not our task. That first line plus one word from the second line of the last question that you have read must be deleted. I hope I am clear and I don't need to repeat. The interpretation of the bylaw should be driven by the flavor of interpretation. Please delete that portion and retain the rest. No problem, no difficulty. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. That's in the notes, and we'll work on it with the drafting team coming week. I'm very curious what others also think about the... I see. I've missed a lot of discussion in the chat. So, what do other people think about the CCWG on human rights vis-à-vis independent processes in the SOs? And then also the point: we have not mentioned ACs extensively yet, except for the last part. Where we might be getting to now, but I'd be very curious, so I'd like to hear more voices on these points, and I'm sure there are a lot of people with opinions here. Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
Excuse me. David mentioned in the chat that it is difficult for him to hear me. Does he want that I repeat, or you can repeat what I said? My proposal was quite simple. The first line plus one word from the second line from this section should be deleted. The interpretation of the bylaw should be driven by the framework of interpretations. Delete that, because this is not the subject we are discussing. We are discussing framework of interpretation for human rights. I hope this time my voice is clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. So, Anne is making a point. Anne says, I think it would be best if human rights are considered and included in ongoing PDPs. In particular, these processes should be integrated in a manner that does not hold up another round, in particular, a possible priority round for community applications. Yes, but it's a bit also a discussion about structurally addressing it, right, and not incidentally. So let's see, but let's continue to the last part, because I see we are also already progressing when it comes to time, and that is the last part, and it is consider what effect, if any, this bylaw will have on ICANN's consideration of advice given by the Governmental Advisory Committee. So we chewed on that a bit and then came to the following point. There is no change to the status of GAC advice or how GAC advice will be considered solely due to this bylaw. The board will need to take into account ICANN's mission and core values, including the human rights core value, in considering advice given by the GAC. Mark Carvel has his hand up. Mark, please come in.
Yes. Hi, Nielsen. Hello, everybody. Well, I think there's a generic point here, isn't there, about the advisory committees. I mean, it's in the word. They are providing advice. They're not creating policy. They're giving advice to members in the community who do the development policy, and then ultimately the board who takes the decisions. Having received the bottom-up policy outcomes. So I don't, I mean, you had a question earlier, you know, how should we cover the advisory committees in this document? I don't really see there is much point in trying to do that. The first sentence in this section, there is no change to the status of GAC advice, I don't really understand the purpose of stating that. The key point is in the second sentence. It's how the board implements that advice or rejects it, should take into account its core mission and its mission and core values, including the obligation to respect human rights. That's the key point. I think that's a kind of, but as I say, I think it's a generic point applying to all the advisory committees. And I said in the chat earlier on, the GAC will have regard to human rights. We have a working group on human rights. I'm one of the co-chairs of it. And when we are developing advice, we will have regard, you know, we'll be alert to any human rights implications caught up in the advice. But it's for the board to say, well, actually, we can't implement that advice because it will conflict with our obligation to respect human rights. And that's where the key action point relevant to this document is. It's how the board implements the advice. I hope that's a helpful intervention. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mark. So if I understand, what you would like the drafting team to do is to remove the first part of this comment, right? Or work on
yes.
That coming week.
The first sentence, first of all, I didn't really understand it, but I don't think it's relevant. The second sentence is the key point. And my second point is, well, it's generic to all the advisory committees, presumably. Thank you.
Excellent. I've noted that both in the Google Doc, so we will work on that. Thanks so much. That's really helpful. Thank you. I see Anne's hand is up. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. This is Anne for the transcript, and I certainly agree with Mark's observations regarding what the GAC will be doing and that they will be considering the human rights issues when rendering public policy advice. Where I may differ is in relation to whether it's sort of a generic assumption or a given in relation to all advisory committees, in particular because the GAC's public policy advice has very special status under the bylaws. So for some of us who are working in a smaller group, it was difficult to understand, again, this language about there's no change in GAC procedures. We think it would be, you know, more accurate to recite some of the things that Mark has said about what the GAC will be doing, that it will be taking into account in rendering its public policy advice the framework of interpretation with respect to human rights and the fact that that's a core value of ICANN, because we believe that that same, I guess you would say, obligation to respect, which was mentioned earlier in the chat, in the policymaking process affects the GAC equally as it affects the GNSO. Ultimately, yes, it's the board that makes the final determination, but we don't understand why there would be kind of a different description for the GAC's public policy advice than there would be for all the processes that occur within the GNSO. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Anne. I see, I think, Mark, that's an old hand. I see Cavu's hand is up. I would be very curious to see if there are people from ALAC, and I see Cheryl is here on the call, but also others, to hear people from ALAC what they think about this issue. But first in the queue here is Cavu's. Cavu's, please come in.
Yes. Do you hear me now?
We hear you very well.
Okay. I think if we read the vector of this procedure, it says, consider what effect, if any, this bylaw will have to ICANN up to the end. In that case, I tend to agree with Mark that the first sentence is not necessary, because the key reply in the second sentence, that the board will need to take into account ICANN's vision and core values, including the human rights core values, in considering advice given by GAC. This is the key point. So first sentence need not to be retained and could be or should be deleted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavu's, for supporting Mark's point. Cheryl in line. Cheryl, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. You did call on me, so I figured if I waved at you in the AC room, you can put me in the list. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. Of course, the at large advisory committee does not have the privileged position under the bylaws with relationship to how board needs to react and interact with it regarding its capital A advice. It also has a specific difference in its operational procedures, its standard operational procedures, because it has always had the mandate to particularly interact with the support organisations. So obviously, we as ALAC and as the at-large community, being two different things, the ALAC being the 15-person committee, which is the advisory committee, and the at-large community being the grassroots via the RALOs that that contribute to formulation of its opinions, of the ALAC's opinions, and what it tries to do on behalf of internet end users, or in the best interests, I should say, of internet end users. So we are historically more and more embedded directly in PDP processes in both the CCNSO when they occur and GNSO. We're also embedded wherever possible in the early drafting or study groups. If the, in the case of the CCNSO, the latter tends to do explorations in a pre-PDP process and in drafting of mandates, etc., within GNSO. So there's a greater engagement, and that means that any attention to human rights, as was suggested, specific to the SOs, would be where we would operate. So there's that sort of hierarchical sense of system that or attention that David mentioned earlier. And, of course, I should also mention that I did say SOs earlier because our regional at-large organisations and our at-large structures are frequently specifically embedded in the regional internet registry activities. So from the numbering point of view, we have a role that is outside of ICANN but contributory to. And acting as we do in the best interests of internet end users means we're always thinking about needs and rights. So we're a little bit different to the GAC on a number of levels. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Cheryl. So if I, I was thinking to try to summarize you, so you'd say different from the GAC, but no need to come up with, to integrate human rights in specific policy advice and activities of the ALAC, right? Exactly. Okay, perfect. That's good. So that means that we've had views from all different SOs and ACs. We went through the whole document. We identified some points for improvement, but we've also seen that the document has improved from last week. So I would like to open up the floor now for any suggestions, ideas, and any other business that you would like to give to the drafting team so that we can continue, so that we might even have a document which we can discuss together by ourselves, maybe even with others, by Copenhagen. So that would be really great. I see a number of hands up. That's great. First, Cavus. Then Anne. Cavus, please come in.
Yes, thank you very much. I think after the suggestion by Mark to delete the first sentence of the last part and the support given by David and support given by myself, I think the first thing is to delete the first sentence of this last part. Namely, there is no change in the status of GAC advice or how GAC advice will be considered solely due to this bylaw. This was suggested to be deleted, and there was support, and I have not heard any opposition. So this must be deleted either by now or in the drafting team. And the second, the previous section, the first line, interpretation of the bylaw, I have suggested to be deleted, and you may assign to the team to look at that one, but I have serious difficulty if you retain that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. That's well and captured, and we'll be working on that coming week. Perfect. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne for the transcript, and I also agree with the deletion of the first sentence in that paragraph. I am not sure why we are unwilling to state that the GAC would have a positive obligation to take into account the HR, the Framework of Interpretation for Human Rights, when rendering public policy advice. I don't know. I think, you know, it's something that, as Mark has observed, it will occur, but as to why we would be, you know, implying that GAC processes are not affected by this, and just being silent on that, I don't really understand the reason for that. So it'd be helpful if somebody could, you know, illuminate that situation. Maybe Mark has some thoughts, or Cheryl, or Kavus. Secondly, I think that there's, with respect to the Balancing Act that I think Jorge had raised originally, long, long time ago, I think there's a bit of an elephant in the room. And that is because, although we're all quite willing to talk about the balancing that must occur among core values when push comes to shove and the board has to make a decision, we've been so far unwilling to talk about the reality that there's balancing that must be done among the various human rights themselves. And so, obviously, I do come at this from the standpoint of both, you know, representing authors and artists, and also representing indigenous peoples, that the rights of authors are, you know, to be balanced in relation to the right of privacy and the right of free expression. And I think there should be some discussion. When I say free expression, I think that's probably should be unlimited, but I don't know about free anonymous expression, because that is something that can be harmful to the rights of authors in certain cases. And it does have to be balanced on a case-by-case basis. I think in some ways we're avoiding stating the fact that human rights, as they are enumerated in the various documents that we've referred to in the first section, will also have to be balanced. And I think that that merits a great deal more discussion, particularly in Copenhagen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. I think we have addressed that actually in the framework of interpretation, and that's something that will definitely come back once this is operationalized. I'm not also sure where that should be part here in the considerations document. And I think that flows from the things we've written and said, but I'm also, of course, always happy to go in further detail.
Yes, Niels, may I have a quick follow-up on that?
Of course.
I think that what we did, and this is Anne again, in the framework of interpretation was, I believe we referenced the balancing of the core values, but not what will inevitably be a balancing of various human rights as well. And I had put in a sentence regarding that in the red line that I sent around, but you know, probably people didn't have time to read that. But I do think that we will need to talk about it in Copenhagen to be complete with respect to what we're putting out for public comment. Thank you.
Okay. Let's discuss it and then see what we can get. And then let's close the queue and Kavus, enlighten us.
Can I reply to Anne?
Well, of course.
She said that it is necessary to mention that the GAC advice should be take into account the human rights and so on and so forth. We don't need that. Why? Because in the bylaw mentioned that the GAC advice must be consistent with the bylaw. And the interpretation of human rights is part of the bylaw. So in a implicit manner or by the cross-reference, GAC advice should be consistent with the bylaw. If Anne insists that we explicitly mention the GAC advice should be consistent with the bylaw, I also insist that in GNSO and CSSO, we also could mention that the policy of these two organs must be in compliance with the human rights. If you read the previous paragraph, there is no mention of the policy of the GNSO and others to be consistent with the human rights. So why we should do it for the GAC? We should make a balance between the three. If you mention something for that, you should also mention the same thing for the two others, for CSNSO and for GNSO. These are my comments, and I request kindly Secretariat reflect what I said. Thank you.
I see there, this also invited a response from Mark, and then Mark is really closing the queue, and then we're ending off. Mark, please, come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. Well, I did have something similar in mind to what Kavusa said, so I'm not going to repeat that. But it's an interesting point that Anne has raised, and I'm minded to discuss it with GAC colleagues. The capturing of the sense that there is an obligation for us to take into account human rights when formulating advice. I do like that idea, but I don't think it's explicit anywhere. Kavus may correct me on that. I don't think it's explicit anywhere, but maybe it should be in our operating principles. So I wanted to express appreciation to Anne for raising that point. I mean, my sense at the beginning was, you know, many of us are very close to the whole area of human rights in policy making, and, you know, we, you know, as part of our sort of culture, if you like, as policy makers in administrations, have regard to human rights. I mean, we will spot problems pretty quickly where there's potential contravention of somebody's rights. But as I say, appreciate the point that Anne has made. Thanks, and good night, everybody, or goodbye if you're not evening like me. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark. The queue is closed, so we have, and this is great, we have some new horizons, we have some new ideas, we've also concluded we made progress, and isn't this a great place to be? That's really nice. So on this note, I would like to end on this Valentine's Day, in which we can look forward to meeting each other again in Copenhagen with an improved document, but luckily we're already seeing each other again next week on the call, coming week on the mailing list, and I would like to thank you all very much, including ICANN staff, for being here, for your attention, and for making this all possible. Thank you all. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.